Hey everyone, and welcome back to the First Act Podcast. This is part one of establishing your LinkedIn network with John Kraske. Listen in as we break down the tips and tricks to growing your authentic social following, driving real engagement, and creating value on LinkedIn in Web3. This is an episode you won't want to miss.
And now, hosted by Harry G, this is your one-stop shop for hot talk straight from the top. Whether you're trying to build a job in pop, rock, or any other artsy schlock, here's your top dog with info that can't be bought, it's gotta be sought. So sit back, crack a six-pack, because we're about to chit-chat and rip facts. It's the First Act Podcast.
Welcome, John Kraske, to the First Act Podcast. How's it going, man?
Fantastic, fantastic. I'm here in Austin, you're in Montreal, so we're both doing a little traveling, I guess.
Yeah, that's the beauty of having 100% remote jobs. The new entertainment industry, the new tech industry, the new world, really, right?
Yeah. So I'll be in LA on Sunday, and then I'll be in Istanbul a week later. So
I'm heading to Toronto on Saturday, and then I'm going to be in Vancouver as of Thursday.
Wow! Right. Nice. Vancouver this time of year is amazing. That's sort of the little secret of the Northwest. This time of year is like, it's probably the most perfect place on earth. Unfortunately, the sun is only out like 3 months a year there. So,
yeah, but these are the 3 months that they are out. I have already gotten a sunburn out there, and
wow.
So it was it wasn't so bad. But you're from the West Coast, right? Originally,
born and raised in Seattle, the home of Bill Gates, Kenny G, by the way. I just watched actually an amazing... Did you see the documentary on HBO about Kenny G?
No. What's it called? Wow.
I don't know what... Just type in Kenny G into your HBO app or on your TV. But yeah, it's an amazing... I think Penny Lane, who I'm not 100% familiar with, but I think she's a pretty acclaimed documentary filmmaker. And it's... Wow. It's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, actually. And Kenny G's from Seattle. He was actually an accountant originally. He studied accounting at the University of Washington, but his true passion was playing the sax. And it's just a super interesting documentary because he really advocates practicing all the time to be really good at whatever you do. So it kind of reminded me of another documentary, Jiro Dreams of Sushi. He was considered one of the best sushi chefs in the world. And that whole documentary is just about having a singular focus on one thing and doing it well every day over and over again. So anyways, I'm not even sure why we're talking about Kenny G, but.
Well, I like that. It's a good little pivot because I flew from Vancouver to Montreal, and I was like, you know how you like load up your iPad or your computer with some videos to watch, right? Especially since now none of the flights connect via Bluetooth. So, and nobody has... Well, most people don't really have like a wired headphone, right?
Yep.
So you just got to go with what you got. And so I loaded up 8 Mile straight out of Compton and Boys in the Hood.
Wow.
So I have been like very, very hood lately, very Compton.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 Mile's not, right? But it's been really cool to learn about all of like, you know, like the urban hip hop era, like, you know, like golden era, I would say, urban and hip hop music. And so I've been checking a lot of that out. I'm like 3/4 of the way through Straight Outta Compton. I fell asleep during it last night. I've been like trying to get through that. Not that it's a bad movie, but just, you know, I've just been working so much.
That's funny. You don't have New Jack City on there?
New Jack City? What's New Jack City?
You gotta add New Jack City too. I think that was actually, I'm not 100% sure. That may have even been before Straight Outta Compton. And that was New Jack City, I believe, had Tupac in it. So I believe.
I'm going to check that out.
It has an amazing soundtrack, Color Me Bad. That's kind of when they kind of blew up. That was their first big single. Yeah, Wesley Snipes is in it, Ice-T, Chris Rock. So Mario Van Peebles, Jed Nelson, Bill.
You're cheating now.
I'm just cheating. Yeah, I guess Tupac wasn't in it, but that Chris Rock, Ice-T, Wesley Snipes. But yeah, I think you would like it. It's definitely in that genre. That was released 91. So I'm going to straight out of Compton. I want to say that was 2015. So
yeah. Okay.
Oh, wait, 2015? No, wait, that does not make sense. Straight, no. Oh, it was straight out of Compton. Wait, no. You're not straight out of Compton. Is that right? Straight out of Compton? Is that what you said or no?
Yeah, straight out of Compton was, I think, 20.
Oh, that was 2015. Right. Right. Yeah, that was like a kind of a new spin on what had happened back in the late 80s.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be like they're at the point now where Dre meets with Jimmy Iovine with Interscope.
Yep.
And so like that's like the start of like, you know, where his career really starts to take off. And so I think that's where I fell asleep last night. But
anyways, now everybody's up to speed on cool late 80s, early 90s hip hop movies and history.
Yeah.
As well as Kenny G. Which was a massive pivot from cool hip hop. But it's all right. Kenny G actually, at the part of the documentary, he and Warren G, like they actually have a little clip of him and Warren G doing a song on Late Night with Jimmy Kimmel. So anyways, all right, well, bringing it full circle. But I think the purpose of this podcast is, has nothing to do with what we've just been talking about for the last 10 minutes.
No, but it's nice to have a little banter at the beginning. No harm, no foul there.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's actually get to know John a little bit. So for those of you who don't know John, I did a little bit of background search. And wow. So John's, I believe his very first internship was at Disney. Now, don't interrupt me yet because I could be wrong. But John's had many different roles throughout his career. And now he's the director of strategic partnerships over at a company called Land Vault. I think you guys recently rebranded from Admix.
Correct.
Right. John is very much a thought leader and really just a leader and visionary in the Web3 space. He has an extensive background in business development, strategic partnerships, really just across entertainment as a whole. So I'm very curious to hear, you know, John, how would you describe your role in, I'd say, entertainment, but more so in the technology industry?
I'm super top of funnel. That's how my CEO likes to describe me. So it's kind of a flywheel. I'm obviously very active on LinkedIn. I believe that's how we met because I do love to write. So it's actually one of my passions. So I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. I have my podcast, NFT Heat, where we interview top thought leaders. Then I created something called NFT Thought Leaders. Now it's called Good Morning Web3 Live. And we host in real life events, mostly curated breakfasts at Soho. So this is around the world. So we've done somewhere like 7 to 10 of them. I can't remember the exact number, but we recently did a breakfast at Soho House Amsterdam, one at Soho House London, and most recently a Soho House meatpacking in New York. So yeah, so there's that. And then I then in terms of my job at Land Vault and what I basically did also at NFT Genius, which was a Mark Cuban, Ashton Kutcher, venture-backed NFT technology platform, I basically have conversations with the biggest brands in the world about how to enter Web3. So when I was at NFT Genius, I was initially talking about brands entering through NFTs. And now I'm basically having that same conversation saying, no, it's better to enter through the metaverse. So yeah, that in a nutshell is my job. I've never been happier in my life because, you know, you talked about my first internship, which was actually not at Disney. So
I knew it would be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a couple of jobs I don't even have on my LinkedIn, but I mean, I originally started, I was a CPA actually. So I worked in public accounting, which I believe is what your background as well. So my first internship was actually at Ernst & Young. It was a tax internship. I hate taxes. So it was doing like expatriate tax returns for people in the oil industry. So it was really riveting stuff. But yeah, I worked, that was my first internship. Then I worked for KPMG and Pricewaterhouse in their audit practice for almost 5 years. Worked in banking for a few years before I went and actually got my MBA in entertainment at USC. And then that's when I did my internship at Disney. So yeah, I was kind of an accounting finance guy. Knew I did not like that. I was good at it, but I just never liked it. that's why I got my MBA. I was really trying to pivot out of that and get into the business side of entertainment. I did do the Disney thing.
What didn't you like about accounting?
It didn't really, not a really great profession for me to show my personality. I think I'm kind of like an introvert and extrovert. So it was okay in terms of like showcasing my introvert side where I could, you know, just be really quiet and kind of think logically and do things. But I have this like kind of creative side. Like I said, you know, I love to write. I love to deal with people and host events. So yeah, it just didn't fully harness all my superpowers, I guess. So it harnessed a few, but not all of them. So that's always what I've been searching for, something that just fully harnesses all my superpowers. And I think what I do now is my perfect job. And honestly, I was able to sort of just create my dream job in the space. So that's what I love about Web3. It's still so new and nascent. If you're able to get in, which I think, you know, anybody, if they're really motivated, can get in still, because it's still so new, you can kind of carve out your own niche. So that's what I'm thankful for. I think anybody that wants to reinvent or reimagine their lives, definitely look at Web3. And also look at LinkedIn to really drive that too. So I use LinkedIn a lot to drive a lot of my success in the industry, because I'm like a machine now when it comes to LinkedIn. I really try to post every day. I try to engage and be active as much as possible, but it takes, you know, a lot of dedication, but the rewards, you'll see it, just after a few months of being really focused and dedicated, you'll really start to see the benefits of it.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I'm a huge advocate for LinkedIn. You know, I have been ever since I joined, I'd say like back in 2013 or something like that. One of the reasons I really wanted you on the podcast in particular is because like you're one of like my LinkedIn heroes. You know, you are one of the guys that's really creating authentic and great content on LinkedIn. You're so inspiring. And you know, I try to preach this to my audience to be having more of a presence on LinkedIn, because you have no idea what kind of doors it would open for you. And so something that I wanted to kind of talk about here. So John has 35,000 followers to this date. Right now, it's July 7th, 2022. And I think he's got about 35,000, maybe a little bit more followers on LinkedIn. Now, how long would you say that it took you to get to that point?
I went from 10,000 to 35,000 in a year.
Wow. And what are the top three things that you learned from doing that? Because you must have been posting almost every day, right?
I post every day. Sometimes I post twice a day. But the top three things I learned, there's just so many amazing people out there that you can connect with. And I think you have to, beyond somebody who just comments, is like taking it one step further and actually kind of corresponding via email and sending them a call. Because I think that really levels up the experience on LinkedIn. So I think that's super important. Just getting views, likes, comments is okay, but I think if you can really level it up and take it up a notch and make it more personal and human, that's amazing. The power of LinkedIn, I think number two, it's crazy. Somebody literally came up to me in a coffee shop in Austin on Saturday and was like, "Are you John from LinkedIn?" And I've had that happen multiple times. It's crazy. It's crazy now. I mean, I'm really like, it's just blown away like how powerful LinkedIn is and how active people are on the platform. So,
well, it's the professional social media, right? It's your professional right. Instagram, your professional Facebook. Well, no one really uses Facebook anymore, right?
I know. Yeah. I mean, I have an account, but I haven't literally logged in years. So
only for Marketplace and Messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is the professional network, and it's really how you can kickstart your career from zero to one, right? If you're a student who has no idea what they might want to do, I feel like that was how I got in and why I used LinkedIn. And I was very reluctant at the beginning because I was like, it seems so forced.
Yeah.
But after you take a couple of calls, you start to realize the power of a network. How, you know, I don't even like to use the word network anymore. I like to just call everybody that's in my, you know, air quote network. I like to just refer to them as my friends, because these are the people that you want to be working with. You want to keep a close circle of friends. And even if that close circle ends up being, you know, 2,000 people that you chat with regularly on LinkedIn, they become like your friends, literally.
100%. Yep. And then in terms of the third thing I've learned from LinkedIn, it's just, I mean, the amount of opportunities are just, it's abundant. I'm not even joking, but literally like almost every business partnership relationship that I've developed has been from LinkedIn in the last year. I mean, it's the inbound flow is insane. And it's really, it just comes from being active on the platform. People start to notice you and they reach out and they just want to talk either about developing a professional relationship or a personal relationship. So definitely I can't advocate enough for LinkedIn. So definitely get on it. It's hard to start initially, but trust me, we all had to start somewhere. And there's a lot of great content writers out there on LinkedIn that you can follow and kind of, you'll kind of see there's certain patterns and things that work and things that don't work. But again, you got to put in the shifts. You got to grind, you got to practice, just like anything. If you want to be good at anything, you got to put some work in. So that's my advice. If you're willing to put in the work, you'll definitely reap the rewards on LinkedIn.
All right. Now we're going to step away from the LinkedIn podcast.
Yeah. And by the way, I do not work for LinkedIn and I do not receive any monetary compensation. Just a disclaimer.
Hey, not yet, right?
Not yet.
So at what point do you become one of those, like those LinkedIn influencers? Like what is that?
I don't know. You know, it is funny though. So based on kind of the funny part about me gaining traction in terms of followers, I think it was a combination of having wanted to be active on LinkedIn. I had been studying it for a while. I found the right vertical. It was a growing niche, NFTs, Web3. So LinkedIn took notice and I actually got linked up with a content manager at LinkedIn. So now I have my own content manager at LinkedIn.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that they help create content for you?
No, they don't help create content, but they will just, they'll send out like some weekly emails just on kind of like best practices. If you have any issues, they'll help you. They'll have some, you know, monthly calls where you can just kind of ask them anything. It's just to have a dedicated resource inside LinkedIn. You know, they're just there to help support you and help you grow. So I've actually referred a few friends to their team and now they're part of the program. So it's amazing. You know, it's they say that the number one metric that they actually really love to see from a content creator is comments. They don't necessarily care about views or likes. It's comments because that really says to them what kind of engagement you're getting from the community.
And I could not agree more. You know, I made a post a couple days ago. I think that you saw that one where I was talking about how a million streams equates to 25 NFT sales, right?
Yeah, that was wild. That was a great post.
Yeah. And you know what, like I saw that was sort of blowing up. Not like I'm not the originator of that, of like the nucleus of that post, but I kind of just shifted it around, made it my own. I saw that some other people in my network were discussing this and I wanted to put my opinion and also just kind of share that with my network. And, you know, I think I ended up getting not even that many likes. It was something maybe like 45 likes or 50 likes, yep. But I ended up getting almost 70 comments in the span of 24 hours.
Wow.
And it was great. And it's because like, I think that one of the reasons that it had such a wide reach, because it ended up having something like, I don't know, 8,000 impressions, which for me, as I'll say, like somebody who's very new to being active on LinkedIn in the sense of being more of like a content creator,
mm-hmm.
It was really shocking to see how many impressions that you can get in a day from one post. And yep. It was really, I think, because of how many comments I got, people were tagging their friends, and then it just started to snowball from there. And I was engaging in a thoughtful way on all of the comments instead of just being like, awesome, you know? Cause like, I find that when I comment on other people's stuff and I take a few minutes to actually write out a thoughtful comment.
Yep.
I find whenever I get a response, it's often like, right on, bud, or like, awesome. And I'm like, that's not like, I don't know if I'm going to want to write back to that person after or like comment.
Yeah. I mean, I do that a lot. It just depends, you know, like I've had posts where literally I have 200 comments. I do not have time to like do 200 thoughtful posts, but I still want to reply. So I usually try to reply to everybody first 24 hours after that.
Thanks for tuning in to part one. Stay tuned for part two.
Remember, new episodes release every Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific. See you there.